Now, the University of Limerick has conferred honorary doctorates on two remarkable Kerry women for their outstanding achievements. Social activist Sister Stanislaus Kennedy from Lisbole and political scientist Professor Bridget Laffin from Carrigsabeen were honoured at the ceremony in UL. Here's a little bit of Sister Stan speaking after the ceremony.
I really can't accept this for myself alone. You heard the many achievements that have been attributed to me, but I could have achieved none of them were it not for the hundreds of people who supported me, right back to my youth, back to my family, back to my parents. So if I have anything to say to you as graduates today, it is always look out for the people who haven't been able to be as privileged as you are.
At Sister Stanislaus Kennedy speaking at the confirmation ceremony or the conferring ceremony in UL. Professor Bridget Laffin is from Carrigsabeen and she spoke and gave advice for young people.
I would say invest in your friendships and relationships, have a purpose in life, search for the purpose that suits you, be engaged and be committed. The world needs commitment and leadership.
Yeah, there you go. That's Bridget Laffin. I'm delighted to say I have both people on the line with me this morning, Sister Stanislaus Kennedy and Professor Bridget Laffin. Good morning to both of you and thanks so much for joining me in the story and congratulations as well on the honour you received. Sister Stanislaus, if I can start with you. Look, you talked there about, you know, the people behind you all the way through your life. Important to remember them on a day like getting an honorary degree from University of Limerick.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, I thought it was... what was tribute to me was really a tribute to the many people who got me on the journey that I was on and who kept me on the journey from my... way back from my parents... salt of the earth people from this bowl who wanted nothing for themselves but everything for their children, and they sacrificed to educate us. And then there was the congregation, and then there was the Kilkenny people when I went to work in Kilkenny to develop a social service there in the late 60s and the 70s. I mean, the Kilkenny people were extraordinary what was developed there. Similarly with Focus Ireland, you know, the people who came around that and still do, it's fantastic. And it's the same with the Immigrant Council of Ireland, and it's the same with Young Social Innovators, and it's the same with the Sanctuary. So it's really I've been very fortunate in the sense that I got a chance, and I got a chance to from other people. And that's really all I ever wanted to do, was to give other people a chance, because all the chances that I got.
Yeah. And remarkable, Sister Stan, that the work is, unfortunately, the way things are at the moment, more needed now than ever, after all your years of work and all the years of development of different social housing services. The more help that is there, unfortunately, at the moment, the more it's needed because of the crisis
we're
in.
Yeah. In fact, the situation was never as bad as it is today. The situation is quite scary because people have difficulty in buying, in renting. When I started, the situation was bad. But I remember speaking 3 years later to the International Year of the Homeless, 87. I remember saying that we could eliminate homelessness if more houses were built by the government. That was back in 87. And you know, we could have. There'd always be a trickle, a small number becoming homeless. But the problem is the government and the successive governments stopped building social housing in the 90s. And from then on, they haven't developed enough housing. And so the waiting list got longer, the people remaining longer homeless, and so you have a situation that not only are their numbers greater, but because they're longer homeless, they develop more all kinds of problems. So it is really sad.
Yeah,
and
it
must
is.
Change. It must change. I mean, there must be a radical change by the government. And this is the government. I mean, we can do so much in Focus Ireland. Other organisations can do so much. At the end of the day, the government has responsibility for the housing of people.
Yeah, indeed. Bridget Laffin, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me this morning, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Can I talk to you first of all? You studied at UL, of course, back when it was known as NIHE back in the 1970s. So that was a remarkable occasion for you this week, I'd imagine.
It was indeed. It was almost the closing of a circle on my life, because I did my Leaving Cert in St. John Bosco's presentation convent, Carsevine, in 1972. And I went on to be one of the founding students of this new institution, the NIHE. And it was a new degree program, European Studies, with languages, history, politics. So it was a very good program. There were a lot of international lecturers, so it was quite pioneering for its time. And I remember when I told my parents I wanted to do it, my mother was a UCD graduate and she thought I should go to Dublin, but I said no, I think this is right for me, and I'm very glad, because as it turns out, it was.
Yeah, and you were right at the start of, I suppose, Ireland's European journey too in those days, Bridget.
I was, because when I graduated in 1976 and got a scholarship to study at the College of Europe in Bruges for 2 years, which meant by the time I came back to Ireland in 1978, I had a very strong academic grounding in the dynamic of European integration. And as it turns out, I didn't know at the time that became my life's work, my research work, and what I lectured on, what I taught on, for well over 40 years.
Yeah, remarkable. And look, that work, I know it definitely continues, but you had advice for younger people. You were talking about, you know, what to invest in, what to concentrate on, but I suppose your story underlines that education really is a huge passport for anybody to achieve what they want in their life.
It is, of course, and I always regard my year as one of this kind of switching years in Ireland, because we were the first year of free education going into the secondary school, and
numbers
increased dramatically. And it wasn't just the free education, but the free bus, so that the numbers of people staying on to doing Leaving Cert and now going on to third level rose dramatically. And I think it's true to say that Ireland has one of the largest proportion of its young people with third level degrees, which is a complete transformation of the sort of social and human capital of the country. And we really did invest in education, starting with Donal O'Malley, and it has stood to the country. And it's interesting listening to Sister Stan, that as a state and as successive governments, we get a lot right, but we get some things very wrong. And I think, in fact, there's a good case to be made for more research on the Irish state. It's 100 years now since the Irish state. Why in some areas are we best in class in any global comparison, and why then in others do we struggle? Because housing, we're not a country with a shortage of land, so we have tons of space. So what are the, you know, what are the ideological and political and process barriers to solving soluble problems? There are some problems like the climate crisis that are very big and very wicked, but housing is not a wicked problem. Housing is something that could be solved.
And what you're talking about there in education, Bridget, is it's about policy. A policy decision was made and it accelerated a particular area and led to many, many years of very positive outcomes for people in the country. So it underlines the importance of getting policy right, or maybe spotting when policy has been implemented and it's gone the wrong way, and making changes to fix a seemingly, as you said, insoluble problem that housing has become for us.
Of course, though, you see, education was in tune with the society, so parents also invested heavily in the education of their children, whereas housing is an area with a lot of vested interests. There's a lot of financial dimensions to it, planning dimensions to it. So it's an area once you set education on a track and on a road, the society is in tune with it and will invest in it. But when it comes even to planning, I mean, it's we all understand there has to be more housing, but the objections to housing is very significant, the number of objections that come in for any new housing development. So I think we need it's obviously the government and public policy, but we also need a discussion in the Irish society about how, what is the roadmap that needs to be followed, because it's terrible to hear Sister Stan say that it's worse now than ever. And of course it is, because we've an increasing population and so the pressure is greater. But it shouldn't be like that. We're not a poor country anymore. And so in my view, it's a soluble problem. But it's one that requires obviously policy, law, and commitment. And it also then requires that buy-in from society. About
public,
how to solve
that
it.
That public side of it. And Sister Stan, that's a good point, Bridget says. Are we in a situation whereby through the last number of years, maybe the last two decades, people have come to view houses as a commodity rather than somewhere to live? And maybe you're always looking to the next house you might buy, or you're saying, well, if this development gets next door to me, it'll devalue my house, and what'll happen to me then if I want to sell it? Is there too much concentration on the private side of things when it comes to how we view houses?
Well, you see, I think when the government handed over responsibility to the private developers for housing, I mean, at that point, the developers, they weren't really, their job was to develop housing. They weren't really very concerned that people weren't getting the kind of housing they need. And so social housing was not developed. And it requires, Bridget is right, it really requires a whole change of position. It requires really political will and a seismic change in attitude by politicians, particularly if they're going to change this. This is a real challenge. I know every day we hear about housing for all and that's going to happen. But at this moment in time, there are people, there are actually, we know now in Focus Ireland for the past 2 weeks, there are actually families that have no place to go. And we are likely to see them sleeping in cars and sleeping in the streets. That is absolutely shocking.
Yeah, certainly is. Sister Stan, finally, Tom Lynch has got in touch this morning to say, I remember the lovely man that Sister Stan's father was. He often gave me a lift in his pony and trap on his way to Dingle. Congratulations to Sister Stan.
That's lovely. Thank you very much. Lovely. Thanks. Thank you.
Bridget, final word to you. Look, it's a remarkable set closing of the circle of your life in terms of education. Going back to you, well, I know you met your late husband, Michael Laffin. A bittersweet moment yesterday. Sadly, Michael passed away suddenly.
He did indeed. He passed away in January this year. But one of the when we were in back home in Carsevine in August, we floated his ashes in Coos Crown, and so he floated off out into Dingle Bay. So there's a bit of him in Kerry.
There certainly is, Bridget. There certainly is. And look, our thoughts are with you, and congratulations again on a fantastic career. And we'll talk again, no doubt. And Sister Stanislaus Kennedy to you as well. Two remarkable Kerry women who were honoured by University Limerick this week. If you have a view on their contributions, get in touch with us on the show this morning at 0667 123 666. More on Kerry Today after we take these.